Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light." And I've never paid much attention to this verse before. I don't know what it meant in the original context. But this time I was thinking, perhaps it means like what we pay attention to, what we focus on, what we notice shapes everything else. Verse 23, "But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And how can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Today's trouble is enough for today. Can we get an amen? I think in this passage we hear Jesus talk about God's abundance and God's ongoing care and provision for creation, but often that's not what we notice. We hear and we know we're not to worry, and yet we worry. Now Jesus, as he talks about worry, isn't talking about healthy or necessary planning ahead. He's talking about worry that consumes us. So on the one hand, he gives us great words of wisdom. It doesn't do any good to worry, right? It doesn't help us anyway. And then he gives us words of promise. Trust God. You are in his care, just like the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, and you are far more important than them. And yet, isn't worry where we live? We are almost assaulted with images of worry when we see the news. We hear news, very real news, of strikes and layoffs and shootings, increased cost of living, the upcoming election, the wars in Gaza and Ukraine that don't seem to end, fires and droughts and floods and hurricanes and so much more. The news is filled with these images of worry, and sometimes our lives are too. You may lay at night worrying. If you have children, maybe you worry about your children or your grandchildren, or about that relationship that just isn't coming together, or about the upcoming election, or the dwindling amount in your bank account. Or as you pray for a loved one who's ill, or you yourself are going through an illness. We are all so aware of the worries around us and of our own fears. So Jesus gives this command, do not worry about your life. But when we're faced so many worries, we want to say, seriously, Jesus, have you seen our world? I remember a dear, faithful man who was in the later part of his life who really struggled with worry and anxiety. And he read this passage, and instead of feeling comforted, he felt so guilty. So he's like, Jesus says, don't worry, and I'm worrying anyway. And of course, I don't think that's what Jesus wants for us. As much as Jesus talks about worry, he's not inviting us to focus on the worry, but to focus instead on our God. Like at the root of it all, this passage isn't so much about worry, but about in whom or what do we trust? Where do we direct our attention? As I mentioned, there's a couple verses here that I've never really paid a lot of attention to. Verse 22 that read, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye's healthy, your whole body will be full of light. And I wonder if it could be noting that where we look, what we pay attention to, what we notice, it impacts the whole rest of life. Like, are we just focused on our worries and fears, on what's lacking? Or do we find a way to focus on our abundant God? Jesus begins this whole worry thing saying you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and wealth, therefore don't worry. So the real issue isn't so much the worry, it's where do we place our trust? Just before this, he talks about collecting treasures, and where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Someone once wrote, talking about money, once we believe that money can satisfy our deepest needs, then we suddenly discover we never have enough. We always think that we'll be better off if we have a little bit more. And someone wrote, no wonder we worry. In a world that's full of scarcity, or that focuses on scarcity, in a world that says the more you have, the safer you'll be, we think there's simply never enough. And yet for we who've been brought into relationship with Jesus, we're also brought into a different reality. God's reality, God's kingdom. One man noted that God doesn't operate from scarcity. God operates from abundance. For example, in response to Jesus' death on the cross, God does not, in fact, keep track or look out for payment or hoard power with which to destroy the offenders. Instead, God does something entirely new. God resurrects. God creates something once again out of nothing, giving life to the dead, and that is our promised future. That's our abundant, gracious God right now. Now, as we think about Jesus' words to not worry, one scholar notes that for those of us who are more middle class, it can, of course, be obvious to say, yeah, I shouldn't be worrying about what I'm going to eat or what I'm going to wear or where I'm going to sleep. But there's people across the world and people in our own community who very much do not know where their next meal will come from. There's people who are wondering, am I going to have enough food to feed my children? That's a very real fear for them. Will I have a safe place to spend tonight? So if we are rooted and focused on our abundant, generous God, that might also move us to practice faithful generosity so that other people don't have to worry about where their next meal is going to come from or if they'll have a safe place to spend the night. This past Wednesday, the students in our 7th grade all the way up to 11th grade were given a great opportunity. A while back, someone took their time to write a grant to our endowment fund to ask for $2,000 to be able to help our students at Calvary decide where to give that $2,000 through ELCA Good Gifts. Now, if you don't know, ELCA Good Gifts is part of a larger ministry of our larger church, ELCA World Hunger. And they seek to give different gifts to communities, not just to change and help in the short term, but to change lives in the long term, so people no longer have to struggle with hunger. So our 7th through 12th grade students got to consider where to give. And they chose a lot of places that would have the most long-term impact. Each group of 5 groups got to give away $400. And some got to choose to get seedlings to buy fruit plants, or fish for farms, or animals for communities. And we watched a video about how goats were given to a community, and the offspring of those goats then went to neighbors. And they were taught how to farm more efficiently, more effectively, and it had this long-term impact. Some chose water filters to kind of change whole communities with the resources that they need. So thanks to the generosity of someone who gave to our endowment fund, thanks to the generosity of someone who took the time to write this grant, thanks to ELCA Good Gifts, our students had this opportunity to give so that other people don't have to worry about their basic needs. This past summer, we again had our worship site in Virgis with Pastor Dave Beatty leading at the Virgis Community Center. And people there give generously out of their offerings in worship. Some give to help support our general fund for ongoing ministry of Calvary Lutheran Church. And some give offerings that are designated just for Virgis, which really don't have a place to go necessarily except continuing the ministry, which is a pretty low expense. So Pastor Beatty suggested, could the council decide where to give this? And so upon recommendation from him, the council met this past Monday, and they'll have more funds to give again in November. But this past Monday, they voted to give $10,000 from the offering there to help with hurricane relief following Hurricane Helene through ELCA Disaster Response, where 100% of what's given there will help with immediate need, but also long-term building to help all those there who have so many very real worries and needs. We have these opportunities as a church and as individuals to live out generosity, both as a spiritual practice to help us focus on a God who keeps providing. When we give it away, it helps us trust that God is going to keep on providing. And we live out generosity so that others can live out this passage so that they don't have to worry about their basic needs. Jesus brings us into a different reality, the reality of God's kingdom that does not operate based on an idea of limited resources, but God's kingdom that operates out of abundance and generosity. This week, and maybe the next several weeks, maybe it's our job to notice this different reality, to look for the ways that God is at work to relieve fear and to give hope. And maybe it comes down to, what do we notice? Where are our eyes directed? This past Wednesday, I shared with some students about contentment. And this may not be helpful for you, maybe it is, but I've changed the reminder that comes across my phone at 7 a.m. every morning, and it now comes across my phone to say, thankful. And I shared with them that some days I just kind of ignore it, but other days it helps me remember, especially on days when I'm cranky and I have a little thankful journal on my phone that I don't feel like opening up and that I can't think of what am I thankful for. But when I open it up and start recording, I start to see there are many things to be grateful for. It just orients life in a different way when I'm able to do that. It's like, where are our eyes directed? Are they focused on what's lacking, or are they focused on our abundant God? So in the next few weeks, I want to invite us to keep our eyes open, to look for signs of God's abundance. Maybe you take pictures and post them on social media. Or if you're not a part of that, maybe take a picture for yourself or write a note each day of where you've noticed Jesus' care happening and God's abundance. And maybe you share it with someone. What if that's what we put out into the world instead of what's lacking? What if we put out into the world these signs of God's abundance that we notice? Not to kind of sugarcoat our lives and say, oh, look how good my life is, but instead to point to our God. Where might you see God caring for the world around us in ways that bring peace, in ways that help you remember Jesus is there? Maybe you take a picture or write about a relative or a friend or a coworker who knows just the right thing to say. Maybe you share a story in a text to a friend. Just this morning, I read about a man who lost his business in the hurricane. And what's he doing after losing his entire business? He's gone to volunteer and help his community. They don't have water to flush their toilets, so he goes to get water that's not safe for drinking, but it's perfect for washing, for flushing toilets. And he goes out to help his neighbors. What a way to deal with his worry and his fears. As we hear Jesus invite us not to worry, again, it's not so much about the worry, but about on whom do we rely? What gets our attention? What gets our focus? Through all the experiences of our own fear and worry and anxiety, we are promised that our Lord Jesus Christ truly is with us. That God remains with us, offering us again and again abundant life in Him. Might we trust that? And then generously share our time, our gifts, our energy, our resources, our faith, so that others may be relieved of their worry, even of their most basic needs in life. Thanks be to God for that. Amen.